Welcome to Magical Mondays with the Psychic Cowgirl Shannon and Psychic Sidekick Virginia. We will be discussing metaphysical topics, psychic and intuitive development, and self-empowerment. Join us for information, laughter, and connection each Monday. Thanks for being here.
Hello.
Hi, Shannon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Virginia?
I am recovering from a crazy day.
From a crazy day? I had a very productive day. For a Monday, that was very impressive. So I'm pretty excited about our show tonight. Yay, the karmic debt numbers. Woohoo! All right, so we don't have all our ladies in our chat room yet, but that's okay. They'll just have to catch up. I'm sure they'll be here.
I'm sure.
So, karmic debt numbers. See, this just loses me sometimes. So you explain it to us.
Okay. So when you're doing a numerology profile, there's four numbers that can be karmic debt, 13, 14, 16, and 19. And I know last time we talked about adding the numbers together, but I'll talk about it again just a little bit.
Just wait on
so
that.
So let's do your birthday, for example, because that determines your life path number. So if you did your birthday, my suggestion to adding your numbers together is add together your month until you have one digit, then your date until you have one digit, and then your year until you have one digit. Then you have three digits there that you're going to add together, and then keep adding those until you're down to one digit. But when you add those final three, are you following me still?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay. When you add those final three, if that very last double-digit number is 13, 14, 16, or 19, then you have some karmic debt.
Okay. So you do each one individually, like the month, the day, the year, and then you add them down until you get the last possible two digits, correct?
Correct.
And if that one is one of the karmic debt numbers, then you pay attention.
Right.
Okay.
And same thing with your name. You don't want to add, when you figure out all the numbers of your name, of your birth name, you don't want to add them straight across, because when I did it, I still got the same single digit at the very end. But one way didn't show the karmic debt number. That's why I like to do it my way. So instead of just adding the number straight across, I would add up my first name till I get a single digit, add up my middle name till I get a single, and then add up my last name till I get a single. And again, just like with the birth date, you're going to have three final single-digit numbers that you add together. And with those three, if they come up to a double digit right before the single digit of 13, 14, 16, or 19, then that's where you see the karmic debt. I think one way I did it, I still ended up with 4 was my final number, but one way, when I added them straight across, the final double-digit number was 31. And when I added them one by one, the final double-digit was 13. So see, the karmic debt didn't show up adding them straight across.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And today, Virginia and I had a conversation earlier, because when I was doing like Shannon Lee Carey, which is the name on my birth certificate, the Lee part, when I did that, it came up 13, but that doesn't mean it's a karmic debt, because it's until you're reducing it to the last possible two-digit number. And I got confused there.
Right. So, I mean, in that case, like, you could look at what the karmic debt 13 means to make sure you're not dealing with any of those issues, but it's really not a karmic debt so much. You know what I mean? It's not like something that you really, really need to be concerned with because it's not showing up in your core numbers or as your birthday number.
Okay, good. I don't want to look it up. I don't want to know. I only have one karmic debt number, so that's good. I can handle that. So I'm going to ask the ladies in the chat room if you guys know your numbers, if you know if you have any karmic debt numbers, or if you have any questions about figuring it out. I had a lot, so yeah, feel free to ask them all.
And then, you know, what's interesting with yours, Shannon, is you only had one, but you had it show up twice.
Yes, that's
so
true.
So to me, that says really pay attention. And then the other number that you had, which really isn't karmic debt, but you have the number 10 as your personality number, which reduces down to a 1. But 10 is like a good karma. It means it's a completion. It's like a rebirth. And so it says that the karmic has been paid or the debt has been paid, and now you're ready and free to begin again. And if it shows up in your profile, it means that you'll encounter people and situations in this lifetime that will allow you to complete the karma present in the situation. Right.
Hey, and that makes so much sense to me. Like I told you before,
I have it show up in mine, too. So it's fun. It's fun to know these things. And then they say, too, that anywhere that the numbers show up in your profile, so it's either your life path number, which is found by your birth date, your full birth date, your destiny number, which is adding your full name together, your soul number, which is adding the vowels only of your name. Your personality number is adding only the consonants of your name. And then the maturity number is adding together the life path and destiny number. So if it shows up anywhere in there, you want to pay attention because they say that we've taken on an additional burden in order to learn necessary lessons. And the burden that you took on offers opportunity to repay the debt. However, if they show up in 4 specific places, the life path, destiny, soul, or birth date, it's a bigger significance for some reason.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah, so let's see where yours fell. Yours is your birth date and your soul, and it's the same number. So that's saying there's a greater significance of it in your life. And I have the same thing. Mine is my birth date and my life path is the same number of karmic debt. And my destiny is also an additional karmic debt.
Really?
Yeah. But I get the 10, too. I get the whole rebirth thing, too. So I'm hoping I'm heading that way.
Okay.
So it's interesting and confusing and fun, and
yes,
you really have to like these numbers.
Yes. You know what? This is a good example of, I can do numerology. I can sit down and spend hours at it, and I can do it technically. I can figure it all out, and I can do it. But I can't comprehend and reel it off and do it instantly like Virginia. We were talking today, and she's like, well, what's your stuff? I'll just do that for you right now. And it took her like 30 seconds. And I said, you know, this is the reason why you do numerology profiles and I don't. I could keep simple numerology, but it's not my thing.
Yeah, to me it's nothing. It's just figuring out a few numbers. No big deal, you know?
Yeah, no big deal to you, yes. But I can tell you energetically what's going on. But numbers, yeah, not so much. So we have a few more people in the chat room. So what I want to know is if anybody has figured out their numbers and know if they have any karmic debt numbers or any questions on how to figure it out, we're relying on you guys to make sure we make this really clear. Our shows are becoming really popular, thrilling. Mm-hmm. We are getting so many downloads, it's hard for me to wrap my head around. It's so exciting. So, yeah, we rely on you to help us make it clear to everybody. So, yeah, you guys are on.
And I will, while they're kind of working out their numbers real quick, I'll just go through each of the numbers and what they signify, like the karmic ones.
Okay.
They say that the number...
Well, let's see if... Because...
What?
Well, because in my brain, I won't mm-hmm. remember while I'm trying to figure things out. So
okay.
Yeah. So I'm giving them a second. But I want to say, when I read my karmic debt number information, it makes so much sense to me, the people in my life, as in my family, as in my friends, as in circumstances, why it's all happening the way it's happening. So my karmic debt number actually tells me why I've chosen these people, why I've made soul contracts with them to learn these lessons. Because, you know, at times you wonder why you picked them.
And you can't see me over here, but I'm nodding my head in agreement with everything you say.
Okay. So, Charity is logged in the chat room, and she's not sure how to do this. So guess what, Virginia?
I'll explain it again.
Yes.
All right, Charity, if
That's
you
exactly
are...
That's exactly what I wanted, Charity. Thank you.
If you are doing your birth date, you want to add together the numbers of your birth month till you get a single digit. Then you want to add together your birth date until you get a single digit, and then your birth year until you get a single digit. And then once you have those final three single digits, you're going to add those three numbers together. And if that final number is a single digit, great. You have no worries. But if it adds up to a double digit that you have to reduce one more time, that's not a big deal either. But you want to make note if the double digit number is 13, 14, 16, or 19. Because those are the karmic debt numbers. I'm going to type in the... Go ahead.
Or if your birthday is on one of those numbers, because I was born on the 14th. So
and I'm
automatically...
The
13th. Oh, right.
Yes. So automatically
See?
You have it.
See? This is why we have Virginia.
So I'm...
So because
I'm,
I was born...
Go ahead.
Because I was born on the 14th, that's what made it into a karmic debt 13, right? Okay, never mind.
No. No, the 14 itself is a karmic debt number. So you have that 14, and that
yes.
ends up becoming a 5.
Yes. Yes, I have karmic debt number 14. See, this will really rattle
you. You keep going to the 13.
I do keep going to the – oh, yes. So obviously I have to learn something from the 13. I will go look at it later. I want to know right now. Charity asked, how do I get a single digit? So actually, Charity, if you type in your birth date, we could do it for you.
By we, she means me.
Yeah, I do. I do mean Virginia. I could do it too. Actually, I did Moon Watchers. And I reduced it down to a 10 with her birthday. So would that mean that she has some karmic debt there?
Her birth date is that 10, which is that rebirth number.
Okay.
So it's a good debt.
Yay! Okay, so there's Charity's in the chat room, and I'll talk while you're figuring that out.
Okay.
I'm typing mine in really quick. It'll take you 30 seconds. I know.
It will.
I know. So I will find my karmic debt number, which is 14, and I will tell you guys about it because, yeah, it's very, very, very true. Those who have a karmic 14 debt number are forced to adapt to changing circumstances and unexpected events without warning. Oh, actually, that's from stuff I found. I'm going to read what Virginia gave me because it was clearer. Of course it was. All right. Okay. mine involves past lifetimes where freedom was abused, which makes really a lot of sense to me because I get a little bit anal about freedom. Freedom is really, really important to me. My debt is to relearn the value of freedom and the discipline required to earn this freedom. In a past life, those with this number will have found freedom for themselves at the expense of others. Yes?
You're breaking up a little.
Oh, maybe it's because I'm wiggling a little bit. Okay, I will try again. Basically, my karmic debt number means that I abused freedom in past lifetimes, and now I have to figure out how to have freedom with discipline. And I am also prone to addictions and lustful pursuits. I was irresponsible. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm just typing, and I was going to mention mine, but you weren't finished, so carry on.
I'm just reading it off while I'm reading kind of a chat room and seeing how everybody's doing. And, oh, we have a caller. Well, let's check that out. Let's find out what the caller says. Hello.
Hi, this is Patricia.
Hi, Patricia. Hi. How are you tonight?
I'm great.
Good. This is Shannon. Where are you calling from?
Georgia.
Ooh, fun. So Virginia's figuring out some numbers, so I'll talk to you for a second.
Okay.
So what are you up to? Why are you calling in tonight?
I wanted to know my karmic debt and what it means.
Okay. So do you know any of your karmic debt numbers?
I don't, like my birthday?
Yep. What's your birthday?
Oh, it's 6/22/1971.
Okay.
Is that 19 or...
Okay. Virginia, yes, did you hear that?
It is 19. Yes.
Oh,
no, you're right.
19?
It is a 19. Mm-hmm.
The 19?
Wow,
okay.
You are so fast.
So the 19 is, let me find it. 19 is abuse of power. So that says, that there's been some kind of abuse of power, and the karmic debt of this number stems from past abuses of acting in a completely self-centered manner, being blind to everything except self-fulfillment and of one's own desires. The basis of this number is learning to stand on your own and the proper use of power.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
Kind of fascinating, huh?
Yeah.
It says that the central lesson of this number is that you need to learn to stand on your own, but you must also learn to seek support, assistance, and understanding from others. Of all the karmic debt numbers, this one will learn that no man is an island.
Okay, well, I can stand on my own. The only problem I have is asking for support.
That's what it's saying, is that you need to... You need to be able to seek out. You have to learn to seek out that assistance,
okay,
and support and understanding from others. That okay, so you've learned to stand on your own. So now you need to be able to seek out help from others and be okay and comfortable with that.
Okay, that's the part I'm not doing, the second part, support.
And then here's,
and being comfortable asking for it, because I don't like to ask for help.
And most of us don't.
True.
But it's a little more important for you, someone with that number.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of other things to take note of is when if you're not really fulfilling what you need to be, you can kind of lean a little more towards the negative traits of the number until you understand the lesson involved in the number. So if you start noticing yourself with these negative traits that I'm going to list, that's when you want to kind of check yourself and steer into the other direction. So
okay,
those negative traits are selfishness, intimidation, dependence, not standing up for yourself, resisting help from others, egotism, laziness, and aggression.
Oh, my God.
So if you start feeling those things going on in your within your life, you want to stop. You want to check yourself. Say, oh, hold on a second.
Okay.
I'm heading in the wrong direction. Turn the car around. You don't want to be on the karma bus anymore. You want to go another direction.
Yeah. Well, all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for
calling. You're very welcome. And Hillary is asking what her karmic debt is. Hillary, I think yours was a 13, yes. So I will just read it off here. So with your life path and a karmic debt 13, I have this one too, so I understand the pain. It's usually, this one is all work and no play. It's not about luck. A lot of people associate 13 with bad luck. That's not the case. You will expect hard work in all areas of your life. And the purpose and goal of this number is to bring spiritual consciousness into matters of how you express yourself. So you don't want to be too critical, and to develop discipline. For example, and I know I have this problem, I like to tell it like it is. I have to learn to do this without being abusive or hurtful in the way I tell it like it is. I have to find nicer ways to say things, because I've come to realize that sometimes my tone can be a little bit harsh. I don't intend it to be. I don't mean it to be. I'm just very blunt and to the point, and I just, hey, this is how it is, and that's part of my bluntness. And I'm having to learn to reel that in a little bit and kind of go around it and find a different way to go about telling it like it is. I don't have to be so blunt with it. I have to kind of, you know, they tell you know your audience. I guess I have to learn to know who I'm speaking to and adjust the way that I talk, because I'm not always the nicest, and it's not on purpose. And Hillary's saying, yep, so she gets it.
Yes.
But the negative sides of this energy are being rigid, needing to control, being dogmatic, and blaming others for limitations that you feel. And just like I told Patricia, I'll find myself doing this. I'll find myself being rigid, not wanting to budge on things, and needing to be in control of everything. And I have to hurry up and slam on the brakes, you know, and turn the bus around, because I don't want to keep heading in that direction. So I hope that makes some sense for you, Hillary. And I know Sue is asking about the 14, because she does have that. I don't think it's a bad thing if your soul number is a karmic number. It's just, you just want to pay attention if these are showing up. Oh, you're getting an echo. Are you getting an echo, Shannon?
No.
The watcher is getting an echo from me. Oh.
Oh, and Dana has 16, too, in her karma, so we'll read those ones, too.
Yes. I'll go through all of them.
Yes.
The 14, which is Shannon and Sue,
yeah,
is
I have
the temptation.
Yes.
And I know you talked a little bit about it. Sue said I think it's her soul number, if you have it as your soul number, you might expect emotional upsets and delays. Shannon, what was yours? Yours was your birth date and
soul number.
And soul. Okay, so you might expect, same thing, you might expect emotional upsets and delays.
Yes.
Let me see if they give me a little list here of the negative traits. And they don't, so it must not be.
That's because they're
okay.
In.
You guys are perfect.
Are you kidding? Do you see what we go for? Yeah. We go for all the lustful things, Sue. That's what it tells us.
Right, and that's what it says.
Food, sugar, sex, drugs.
Right. Well, and the number 5 is the number of sex and sensuality. So they'll say that, you know, this number might take huge risks in sexual or lustful pursuits.
No, not me.
But it's not necessarily that. It's just an overindulgence because you are trying to pleasure yourself through physical sensations. So it could be food. It could be sex. It could be sugar. It could be drugs. Whatever it is that, it could be gambling. It's whatever it is. I said that because Sue likes to gamble from time to time.
Shopping.
Right, whatever it is that fulfills that like emotional need that you have going, or that you're trying to, what's the word I'm looking for? You're just trying to
distract,
pleasure the physical or the emotional through physical. That's the way I'm trying to word it.
Yes, it's our escape.
So you need to be moderate with things that you do. You don't want to disregard tomorrow, and you want to use temperance today. So you want to do all things in moderation, and you need mental and emotional stability to hold a steady course through your life and to keep things in order. And they say that success lies in being able to establish a belief system for yourself that allows you to magnetically draw what you need to maintain order to your life and do all things in moderation. So, again, with, like, fixed and rigid, you can't be fixed, rigid, or controlling because the law will change with demand that you roll with, or I'm sorry, the law of change demands that you roll with the punches. Does that make sense for you?
Yes, yes. My life is a lot more peaceful when I just go with the flow and roll with it, when I quit trying to control everything. Yes.
Right, and it says no matter how bad... No matter how bad things get, you cannot succeed if you try to gain freedom using destructive methods.
Nope. Yeah, and temperance. Yeah. That's a word I know. Yes, it is.
And a big thing they say to remember with this number, aside from using temperance in all things, is that you're never given more than you can handle. So instead of fighting, don't fight everything that's going on around you. Just kind of sit back and roll with it because there's nothing you can do to change it, and it could just be a test, you know?
Yes.
We get a lot of those, right? A lot of tests.
Challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Challenges. Yes. Yes. Once I stopped trying to control everything, it was a lot easier. It is a lot easier.
And it's funny, but I've noticed the same thing, and I don't even have this karmic debt number in my profile anyway.
I do have a question, though. So if somebody has, like me having the 14 as my birthday, that won't indicate a karmic debt number, though. Right?
Yes, it
it's only when you add everything together and reduce, correct?
No, there's the life path number is your full birth date, month, date, and year. But your birth date alone, just the date, if it's a karmic number, it does hold the karmic debt. So that's why you have it in both places. You have it as your birth date and as your soul, because that has to do with the vowels of your name.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So someone that was born on the 16th of the month, would they have 16 as one of their karmic debt numbers?
Yes.
Automatically?
Like I was born on automatically. And I was born on the 13th, so I automatically have that as well.
Okay. That's good to know. So we had... Dana, who had 16, right?
Oh, Dana had 16. I must have been reading when she...
Destiny and life path are 16.
Okay, so let's see. The 16, I have this one too as my destiny. It's not fun. It's about abuse of love. It comes from past involvement in illicit love affairs that cause suffering to others. In some manner, love was abused. The number 16 indicates a failure in the past to act responsibly in matters of love or to act responsibly where you had made a commitment. So there is self-centeredness involved in this number, along with that lack of responsibility and distortion of loving feelings. past abuses might have stemmed from a lack of integrity with regard to the feelings of others. And some of the negative traits of this number are indifference, analytical aloofness, withdrawal, being difficult to approach, having more concern for our own needs of privacy than the feelings of others, and intellectualizing emotions. And I can probably say yes to about four of those things I just named on a what's the daily basis. So obviously, I'm still on the karma train.
Karma bus. I like your bus.
Oh, yeah, the bus. I hopped onto a train. It moves faster.
But good point. I want to be on the karma train.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have my husband tell me at least once a week that I'm very difficult to approach. And so it's kind of interesting that this comes from him, who is my husband, and I'm exhibiting the negative traits of this number towards the person I'm supposed to be making up the making up for this karmic debt, because this is a person I'm in love with and spending my life with, you know. So I find that kind of interesting. The really cool thing is that the influence of the number 7, which is the 1 and 6 added together, the 7 is the number of the mystic, someone who goes within and relies on the higher guidance. The 7 requires that a person looks to the source of all things as a guiding inspiration, which I feel like I try to do. But with this number, we have to not... what's the word I'm looking for? Well, I'll do the opposite. We have to always keep our commitments. Like if we say we're going to, you know, be at someone's birthday party or baby shower, we need to go. We need to be there. We can't last minute say, oh, you know what, I don't feel like going. Or just not decide to take a day off work just because we don't feel like going. You know, if we have a commitment to someone or something, we need to keep it, because not honoring the commitments in the past is what has created this debt.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And then this number 2 is a path of personal development and spiritual growth. So it gives us the opportunity to transform, but it requires tearing down and rebuilding of your life to do so. So there's going to be like ups and downs constantly in your life until you kind of figure it out and get it together, which I can completely understand all that. But a big problem is, which I find myself doing from time to time too, that I check myself when I see it. This number is, it indicates that whoever has it has a tendency to use their highly intuitive and refined intellect to look down on others. And I'm kind of bad about that from time to time. I hate that I'm even admitting that, because I don't like that about myself. But I do know that I do it. So I guess it's a good thing that I'm at least aware of it, right?
True, yes. you know what's interesting to me? Because I know Virginia and I know Dana, you guys do have a lot of the same energies to me when I'm talking to you. You remind me of each other. I find that funny.
That is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because in that karmic debt number is the destiny number for both of us. So it's kind of fun and interesting.
Yeah.
Charity Kelly is asking what it means. Oh, you're answering it in chat. Yeah. If you don't have a karmic number, that's a good thing. You're not working through any karmic debt from past lives that you're bringing with you now. So you're good. You're just creating karmic debt for future lives, probably.
You just get to have fun and create messes, Charity.
Right.
That's fun.
It might not necessarily be the case. I was kidding.
I know. Well, I just asked her if she knew how to figure out her name numbers. And if she answers me that she doesn't, I will help her with that later or tomorrow, because I do know Charity. Okay, so... you have one more number to read, right? Nobody in the chat room says they have it, but you should read it anyway. Or have you read them all?
I thought I read them all, because the very first one was
13,
the 19.
14, 16. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we even threw in 10 for fun times and good measure.
For fun times, a good measure. Okay. I'm just going to answer Charity. So talking about karmic debts and then talking about soul contracts and karma, so if I understand the karmic debt numbers correctly, we created all this karma in past lives, and now we're in this life with those numbers to help us figure it out to correct that karma.
That's how I would understand it.
Or to adjust that karma. So then it makes sense that we have soul contracts with all these people that we have at times thought, why on earth are they my family? Why on earth are they my friends?
Because you chose them to help you fulfill that debt, pay it off.
Yes, to pay it off. That makes so much sense to me. I've always known that there was soul contracts, that the people that we come here with or meet or interact with, that we made the plan before we came here that we were going to help each other do that, whether it's in a positive way or what we think is a negative but extreme learning way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know when you meet somebody and you look them in the eye and you just know them?
Yes.
Whether you like them or you don't?
Mm-hmm.
You have like an immediate reaction one way or the other.
Yes, I've had that lots of times.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because
mm-hmm.
especially the ones that you don't like. How can
mm-hmm.
you just meet someone and immediately not like them? But again, it's their energy.
Right, and that's what I was just going to say is sometimes they just give off, you know, being empathic. We pick up on that stuff right away.
Right away, yep. And we don't have to like everybody. Be respectful, but you don't have to like them.
Right.
Because
now I have to work on them being respectful.
Well, but, okay, there's a flip side to that, though. So when we're working through this karmic debt, sometimes what we're supposed to be working through is using our voice and telling somebody, that's not appropriate, or I don't like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's using our voice to what to the other person might be a negative way, but it's, you know, we are there to teach them also. Because sometimes I think we're so hard on ourselves.
No, I would say that I'm very hard on myself.
But
in a lot of areas.
But what if you're just being too hard on yourself and you're supposed to use your voice and say in that manner to those people because they won't hear you otherwise?
It is true.
In my metaphysics classes, one of the lessons was about you have to get down to the level of the person you're speaking to. And sometimes that level is a lower level than we like to hang out in, but they will not hear us otherwise. And how do we not know that we contracted to be the person to say that to them at this time? There's a responsibility there.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So then how does it come into play if part of my karmic debt is working on telling it like it is nicely?
When it's appropriate. So because you have that karmic debt, you're going to be given situations where you tell it like it is nicely or where you tell it like it is in a way they hear you. You're going to end up with both and have to figure out which one is appropriate. It's not always just tell it like it is nicely.
Okay.
Because I don't think our karmic debts are that simple. I think they're so layered.
No, I agree.
Otherwise, we'd probably be, you know, we'd get through it quick. But
right.
We don't.
And it wouldn't be a huge lesson during a lifetime.
So it's how to create the energy for yourself to know what's the appropriate way to handle some things. And not getting mad at yourself when you blow up, because sometimes blowing up is the right answer.
I think I tend to blow up too quickly. I notice frustration especially because I'm such a passionate person about certain things. And being empathic, if I'm sitting in a room and I'm having to have a conversation with somebody that's very important, and, you know, I'm intuitive also. I know things that maybe I necessarily shouldn't know or don't need to know, or, you know, I need to know them for some reason, otherwise they wouldn't have been shown to me. But it's not necessarily my place to go up and tell these people this is what's going on. So I notice myself in a situation quite often where I'm around people that are close to me, and I know certain things about them, or at least one of them. And I'm coming from a place of worry and a place of concern, but when I voice myself, I'm not heard. So I start to get frustrated, and I feel my tone change, and I feel my I can feel my whole body change. I can feel the stiffness in my back and my whole body, and so I know now that my body language has changed. So now I'm looking a little more confrontational and not as soft, but they're not hearing me. So now I'm getting more mad because I'm just trying to tell them. They're asking me a question. I'm giving them an answer. They don't want to hear my answer. So I'm trying to tell them without telling them what I know because they're not asking that question. So I'm not supposed to say, look, you may only have this much time left with this person. You really need to kind of get on the ball with something. How do I handle something like that?
Okay. So they ask you a question, and you give them the answer, and they don't hear you, right?
Right.
They hear you with their ears, but they don't hear you in their energy because it's not the answer they want. Is that correct?
Right, because then they right away hit me with, yeah, but, no, but, no, well, you know, it's like excuse after excuse.
Will you stop?
Or,
you stop with the first answer. When they say, yeah, but, my answer to yeah, but is, you know where your yeah, buts end up?
In your butt?
Yeah.
I was afraid to answer that.
That's where they end up. When I'm with a client and the yeah, buts start, I shut them down. Because the yeah, buts, no. And
but these are clients who are paying me for my time and my advice or my work or my reading or anything like that. These are like
they're not paying you?
No, these are family members who are needing help of some sort but not wanting to accept any type of help I try to offer.
Then you have to stop.
Okay.
Been there, done that. That's why I have a business now. Because when nobody listens, it's frustrating. But when they pay you money and they don't listen, oh, well.
Right.
Although when they pay you money, they do listen. Because here's the thing. You're not going to convince them of anything because they didn't hear what they wanted to hear the first time. All they're going to do, I do have clients that have done this to me. They just try to work you around until you give up, get frustrated, and give them the answer they want.
That makes sense.
And really, there's nothing you can do about that. You just have to stop. Oh, and the ladies in the chat room have a question. We're really not ignoring you.
No, we're not. I saw it, but I didn't. I knew I couldn't type and talk and listen at the same time.
Okay, so Hillary asked if we have soul contracts with everybody that we come in contact with. You know what? I have thought about this and tried to figure this out. Because it is possible, right? Because before we come here, possibilities are endless. We don't know until we get here how complicated it all feels. But I don't know that every single person, I mean, if you just meet somebody in passing or someone who's friends for a short time, I don't know, that could be like a, because some soul contracts could be short. They don't have to be long, all of them, right?
Right.
So I think, yes. And then I waffle on this because it kind of makes my head spin a bit. But I think before we come, we make such a detailed chart. Some people call it a chart of what we want to experience and what we want to have happen. And then I don't know if we, like, line up everybody or we just set up situations where people will show up that need to show up.
And I feel along the same lines as you, where we kind of set it all up. You know, basically we plan, we write a play called Our Life, and we pick every player and every actor that's going to take part in this.
Okay.
So I don't know if it would
every single one.
Yes. So I don't know that. I don't know that it would be considered a soul contract. I mean, maybe that's what you would consider it, but I mean, even to some random person you pass on the street. Because it could go one of two ways. It could be somebody who walks past you and that gives you an opportunity to fulfill something in your life by being nice and smiling and saying hi to a stranger. Or it could be somebody who walks past you and bumps into you unnecessarily. And then that's kind of your lesson in your reaction. Do you turn around and scream at them, or do you just let it go because you know it wasn't on purpose and that could have very well been you bumping into somebody else?
Yes. I agree with that.
So I don't know if that would be like a contract. I don't know. I guess I never really thought, like, but I guess, yeah, it is, right?
It depends on how we think of the word contract, right?
Yeah.
The word contract feels, like, important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we're just, you know, someone in passing that we meet or someone, you know, that's in our life a short time, it could still be a contract, just a short one. I don't know.
Or maybe it's
I've often thought about that.
Maybe if we called it like a soul agreement instead of a contract, then it's not long term. It's not all this paperwork. It's a little handshake. This is what we're going to do and in passing, and then we're going to go about our lives still.
Yes, I like that. And then the contracts would be with the important players or the ones
right,
that are like really
ones.
Significant. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter the time. It matters the lesson and the challenge.
Right.
Well,
and
Sue says she interacts with many, many people every day. Sorry, we're talking
we're
over each other.
We're saying the same thing.
That's funny. But so what if all those people, though, were part of, you know, some group consciousness or something, and you all agreed to come down to this certain area at one time, like a community? You may not know everybody in your community, but everybody's energy affects the community.
Right, and maybe it's Sue who is in their contract. They're coming to Sue who's supposed to give them the happy vibe on that bad day that they're having. So they made a little handshake agreement with Sue prior to incarnating, saying, look, I'm going to have a bad day on this day, and you're going to be the one that turns it around for me by smiling and being nice.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
I like that.
What is that orange juice commercial where they're sitting around at the breakfast table and they say, okay, well, you're going to go to start the car and it's not going to start. And then you're going to go up the elevator and you're going to get stuck. And then you're going to stub your toe. And it tells, like, of all the bad things that's going to happen to you in that day. And then the person sits there and says, oh, all of that before 5? Okay, well, at least I had my orange juice or however it goes. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that thing.
Well, I know what's going to happen today, so we're all good.
At least I had my orange juice. So they could be saying, at least I had my Sue today. Right?
Yes. Or what if, you know, that one person you smile at, you just change their energy for the whole day. Maybe that was a little agreement.
Right. It makes sense to me. But numerology makes sense to me.
Yeah, we get it. Oh, we have another caller. Let's go see what they... Oh, nope. They're listening. They don't have their little question mark thing up. Hey, I'm figuring this out.
Yay! Finally!
It's getting better. Yes! 17 shows later, but hey, that's all good. So,
it's
what do you guys in the
chat
room... What do you guys think about soul contracts or karma? So, and karma... what does the Buddhist say? I have a little printout.
She says, oh, good gracious. I think it's because they had their shoe today.
Yes.
So the idea of karma. To wrap your head around, right? Like, it's a lot to take in. Just like you say, like, yeah, you can get, like, the basics of numerology, but to sit down and do it, it's kind of a lot to wrap your head around. And I think soul contracts is kind of the same thing. If you either have an immediate feeling about it or sense of it or understanding of it, or you don't and it kind of makes your head spin, and, you know, because I have things that make my head spin and I just kind of don't deal with it then because I don't like it. It's a spinning head.
True. True. Our lady, Mary Lou, she did put her hand up, so let's take our caller.
Hi.
Hello.
I just tuned in, so I haven't heard the beginning of the show, but I really want to hear what you have to say about soul contracts.
Oh, nice. We're just discussing.
Can you tell what a person's soul contract is?
Well, we were using karmic debt numbers to figure out some of our soul contracts.
Okay. I don't think I have any karmic debt. I hope not.
Well, what's your birth date? And I'll just add that together really quick and see if you have one in your life path number.
October 22nd, 1962.
Okay, give me a minute just to add it up.
And I'm going to answer.
And you do,
questions.
Actually.
Oh, look how fast she is.
Your life path number, which is your birth date numbers added together, comes out to a 14. So the single digit is a 5, but the number right before it is a 14, which is the karmic debt of temptation. And Shannon knows a little bit about this, right, Shannon?
Yeah, I have this one. We like things.
It's a debt where freedom was abused in past lifetimes, so you need to relearn the value of freedom and discipline required to earn the freedom. And people with this number will have found freedom at the expense of others. So there was some kind of irresponsibility and lack of accountability in the past. And then they also go on to say that you could exhibit some negative traits of the number, which is jumping from relationship to relationship or job to job with no sense of accomplishment or goal. And then there could be a tendency to pleasure yourself through physical sensations like food, sex, sugar, drugs, or anything that becomes somewhat of a destructive habit.
Okay.
So if you find yourself doing those things, you want to stop yourself and kind of turn things around so that you're doing something to fulfill the karmic debt, which is, excuse me, finding freedom at the expense of others, because you don't want to do that anymore. You'll be dealing with, like, ever-changing circumstances and unexpected events in your life. So you have to learn to navigate all that and kind of just sit back and go with the flow of it all and know that you're never given more than you can handle. And with this as your life's path number, they say that you're here to learn to let go, to resist the temptations of indulgence, to allow things to change, and to steer a steady course. Does any of that?
Learn to let go, allow things to change.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not controlling everything.
Right.
My lessons. Yes.
I like control.
I'm sorry?
I like control. I want
control. Well, you have to let go of it. You have to learn to let go and let the cards fall where they may.
Going with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big one I had to learn, and I have that karmic debt number. And now that it's easier for me, life is easier for me. There's a lot more peaceful days.
Okay.
And then Shannon was saying when you look at the karmic debt, you are able to see why there are certain people and situations in your life with those soul contracts that you've made with these people, why you've made them, because you're fulfilling some sort of karmic debt that you're trying to pay back. She was just talking about how the soul contracts tie into your karmic debt.
Okay.
So does any of that fit for you or make sense? Or
I think so. But I was hoping that most of that was behind me, but you might have relapsed.
Well, if you're still dealing with a lot of the negative traits of it, then you're not. You haven't fully learned the lesson of the number.
Oh. And the number.
No, it's
the number 5 and 14 that's doing this to me.
Mm-hmm. But it's the number 14, not the 5. It's the 14, which is the karmic debt number.
Okay.
But it's okay if we're still working on it. We'll get there. Being aware of it makes it easier.
Yeah, I thought I was beyond that.
Well, wrapped, hey? Maybe
but
next week. That's what I keep hoping.
I'd like to think beyond that, but you tell me that I can never drink again? Yeah, I don't think so.
That's not what it's saying. It's saying that you don't want to turn to that as
an
destructive habit. Right.
Yeah, but it's a wonderful habit. I like food, and I like alcohol.
As long as it's not destructive and it's not an escape method.
And there is a difference.
Right. We all need to eat. You know what I mean? We eat every day to live. And
I have to be careful of the drinking. I can drink and make it too much and be destructive. Shannon shows up.
It's not destructive because I drink too much. It's destructive because if you drink too much, you'll get fat. There's calories in alcohol. It's not necessarily an alcoholism problem. It's a calorie intake problem.
Well, there you go.
Well, no, it's the truth. It's calories you don't need, and so if you consume them, they can stay, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
So then that is destructive, because
it's destructive
for your body.
It's destructive not because it's an alcohol issue, it's destructive because it's a calorie issue. You can have it if you run 10 miles, but if you don't, you shouldn't.
Well, there you go. Does it make sense to you now?
It makes sense.
Great. Okay, well, we have another caller, and we are running out of time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Okay. One more caller. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
And I can barely hear you. What's your name?
Cheyenne.
Hi, Cheyenne. And where are you calling from?
Colorado.
Nice. Did you have a question for Virginia about soul contract numbers?
Yeah, I have a karmic birthday number. It's 16.
It's telling me that we have 90 seconds.
Okay, I will talk quickly. 16 is about abusive love. So you, and not keeping commitments. So you want to honor your commitments, and you want to mm-hmm. keep your commitments, whether they're, you know, like a work commitment or a relationship commitment, and you want to have a softer approach with things, and you don't want to cheat on people. You don't want to disregard the love somebody else has for you.
Okay, I'm going through that right now.
So if you're finding that happening, then you're still kind of learning the lesson, and you're still trying to fulfill the debt. And there's a lot of destruction and rebirth with this number. So you're going to find a lot of, you know, being brought down to nothing, to build everything right back up until you get it all figured out and are able to keep things on a steady course.
I'm presently working on that right now, so I can get that 100%.
Pretty interesting how this stuff works, huh?
Well, I know a lot. I know a little bit about numerology. I'm learning more all the time, so I really like numerology. Numbers are my thing. I'm finding so a lot of things are changing in my life, and I'm really grateful. I just kind of get new bits and pieces every time I call in. So thank you.
Nice. Good. You're welcome.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Thank
you too. Bye.
All right, so we are out of time. See, this one's so fast.
I know.
So thank you, everybody, for being here in the chat room and chatting with us. Are you still here, Virginia?
I'm still here. Sorry, I was reading.
My computer's doing a few strange things now, so I had to check. I guess that's all I have to say. We might have to do another more in-depth show about soul contracts and karma and stuff, but we'll figure that out.
All
Everybody
right.
Have a nice evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.